I just so happen to have run across my last entry on Facebook, dated June 30th, 2014. That was the day I left Facebook. And the reason I left it was because over the weekend, and this is back, I was still at the university at this time, it had been uncovered that psychologists working for Facebook had conducted experiments, psychological experiments, on members of Facebook, counting almost a million. And what they were doing is they were manipulating their news feeds and then attempting to record data as to their emotional responses to those news feeds once they got manipulated. And this was in 2014, the summer, when Facebook was beginning the transition from simply being a gathering place for people to becoming an advertisement source. And they were attempting to garner data to show that their platform was capable of manipulating and affecting people's emotions. And this, of course, would sell for the big advertisement industries, and it's all taken off from there. And I wrote this: I want to thank all of you for the many good and meaningful posts you've shared over the years on Facebook. But as of 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this afternoon, Monday, June 30th, 2014, I will be closing my account. The news over the weekend of psychological experiments conducted on thousands of members on Facebook without their consent was truly troubling. Now, I remember because I was in the university at this time, I had access to a lot of professional journals, and the journals were filled with articles from experimental psychologists saying what Facebook did was unethical. According to the ethics of the science of psychology, you are not permitted to do human experiments without the consent of the subjects in the experiment. And what Facebook did here was conduct those experiments without their consent. And of course, this is something that's been happening. I wouldn't have known it at the time, but this is on the rise, of course. This is what Facebook was doing in 2014. It certainly hasn't stopped. And we also know that, for example, the internet itself is becoming a huge instrument for the advertisement industry. I did some research over the weekend, and I did some searching. My first 20 pages that I got on my search were all advertisements before I finally got to something I could read on the subject I had searched for. Now, that was on Microsoft's Edge, but that's advertisers. They paid money to go onto Edge, and their results come to the top and are first, even if it's not related directly to what you're searching. Now, my purpose in saying this is not to tell you to get off Facebook. I mean, this is a free country. You're free to do as you wish, or even to stop using Edge. I'm going to probably keep using it, or Google, whatever it might be. But here's the main thing I'd like to say that comes to us from today's gospel. Truth cannot be manipulated by us. And what that means is, if something's untrue or a lie, no matter how much money you put down to try to make that untruth or lie true, it won't work, because truth cannot be manipulated. And especially not for us as Catholics. because truth is not the product of my own intellect or my own ideas. Truth is a person who has a name, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And we can't manipulate that. And that's what happens in today's gospel. Disney recently said they will no longer introduce their evening fireworks with ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. They've struck that off the record. No amount of money that Disney puts up can make an untruth true. They're trying, but it doesn't work because you can't manipulate truth. And Jesus demonstrates this today. Today we have large funded corporations trying to bring to bear on us their ideas of what they want us to believe is true. At the time of Christ, here today, you've got some very powerful players bringing a lot to bear on Jesus. And they're even declaring Moses as their authority. And they have malicious intent because they're trying to trip him up. Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Moses, the great teacher, there's no one greater in the Jewish faith. The greatest teacher of our faith said, someone like this should be stoned to death. What do you say? Talk about pressure. Pay attention to what Jesus does. He's not manipulated. We might be tempted to go, try to slice it and dice it a little bit, make sure we don't get anybody upset. I don't want to get anyone upset. We kind of go easy with it. Jesus will not be manipulated. He just simply bends down. He starts tracing in the sand. He's not engaging this feeding frenzy. They probably had this all worked out and scripted before they came upon him. He's not going to feed into their emotion at all. And then he simply looks up and he says, let the one of you who has no sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And then he looks down just calmly and starts playing in the dirt again. And one by one they leave. Now, that won't be the last time that you'll find this kind of pressure brought to bear upon Christ. There will be another feeding frenzy of this kind of gossip behind his back and people trying to attack him and destroy him. It's going to come up again on Good Friday. When Pilate the coward says, do you want me to release to you Barabbas or this man? And they had the crowd all seated. Say Barabbas, not that one. And that's what happened. They chose Barabbas, who actually did murder Roman soldiers. So the feeding frenzy came back, only it was bigger on Good Friday. Now, some of you maybe have been subjects of these kinds of feeding frenzies with the gossip going on behind your back, and you have that coming to bear on you. It's painful. And here is Jesus. He's under that kind of pressure. But truth will not be manipulated. And that's good news for us, because if you've ever been the subject of one of these feeding frenzies where people have converged behind your back against you, that can be painful. But it doesn't mean that because of their numbers that they're right. And it doesn't mean because you're one person that you are right. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. She did sin. But I want you to notice something here. The one without sin doesn't accuse. That's amazing. The one who has no sin, Jesus, accused no one. That's what we do to each other. That's what sinners do. Sinners are pointing their fingers at everybody else. Way back in the book of Genesis, God said to Adam, "Adam, why did you eat that fruit? The woman you put here with me, she made me eat it. Why did you eat the fruit?" "The devil made me do it, the serpent." Everybody else is to blame. The sinless one, the innocent one, doesn't accuse. That's how we treat one another. And I'll tell you, I'm kind of glad I got off of social media in 2014, because latest reports are it's become incredibly toxic. A lot of mudslinging and this one against that one and this one against that one and bullying and people getting on top of one person and let's get together and converge on this person. And oh my God, so toxic. That's how we are. I think we'll be amazed at the kindness of Jesus when we come before him on Judgment Day. I think we'll be amazed, and we'll probably even wish, "Gosh, I wish I would have spent more time with you on this side of the grave. You're so kind." Truth will not be manipulated by us, not even by the great, huge corporations, Facebook, Disney, Google, as much money as they want to put up, as much pressure as they want to bring to bear, they cannot manipulate truth. He wouldn't be manipulated today, and on Good Friday, he won't be manipulated again, even though he was innocent. And this is good news. Scripture has other ways that they try to say this, too. Just before Advent, if you remember, we had readings for Sunday that were pointing us to the last judgment when Christ comes again. That's the theme, a couple weeks before the beginning of Advent. And in all of those texts, there is this phraseology that follows the judgment when Christ comes again, we have the final judgment, and some people don't get in. And there's this line, it says, "And there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth outside." Why is that? Because some of the people not getting in don't agree with the assessment they're receiving. They deserve to get in there, and the king is saying, "No." And they're angry and they're grinding their teeth. He's not persuaded. He was not intimidated here. He wasn't intimidated on Good Friday. And when he comes again, he won't be intimidated. And this is good news for us, because if you've ever been the subject of one of these feeding frenzies, it doesn't mean they're right. Truth can't be manipulated. Money can't buy love, and it can't make an untruth or a lie true. It's impossible, because truth is a person, and he has a name, Jesus, Jesus Christ. And what I'd really like to exhort you to then today is, in your faith, acknowledge the kindness of Jesus that you have received. Acknowledge that kindness that you've known in Christ. And then share that. Share that with other people. That's what we're meant to do. Can you imagine if we all did that and we were to take that kindness that we have received from Jesus and began to communicate that out to others? You might even find that a venue like Facebook wouldn't be toxic anymore. There'd be no more mudslinging and accusations and throwing garbage at each. All that might start to disappear. Because that's the revolution Christ came to begin, is that revolution. As we have been loved, so we're called to love each other. The sinless one didn't accuse. That's how we treat one another. So in your faith today, acknowledge the kindness of the Savior, and then turn that out as best as you can to other people. And just watch the world start to change around you. And little by little, it might change all around you. God only knows, maybe Ukraine and Russia would stop fighting too. So today, in your faith, acknowledge the kindness of the Lord, and then share that with others.